Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Man, what a blessing to be here. I'm sorry I brought the cold weather with me, but it is what it is. So, you know, as Pastor asked me to come and asked me to preach today, it was exciting because I know the calling on my life, but then it also, you know, those that know you well, know your history. And as Pastor mentioned, many years ago, there was a time when nobody at the church actually wanted to talk to me or hang around me because of who I was. And a lot of you know me, but some don't. Some that are listening online, I'm just going to give you a quick background and then we'll jump in. But you know, as I was 12 years old, my mom was an alcoholic. I never knew my dad because my dad wanted my mom to have an abortion. So I never knew him, and I came home from school when I was 12, and my mom kicked me out, to make a long story short. She said it was too much of a responsibility, didn't want me, and, you know, me being the stubborn kid that I was like, okay. Went in my bedroom and dumped out my school books and put some clothes in a backpack and went and slept underneath a bridge. And in that, I was on the streets for a while, grew up on the streets. Finished the eighth grade, didn't go to high school, don't have a college education, was in and out of jail as a youth, did some pretty bad stuff, so I was in jail. And God, little did I know that God was working in all of that. Moved to Arizona in 1996, met Shannon in July of 1996, got married February 7th of 1997. Started coming to church. I think we started to coming to Faith Harvest either in 1997, sometime that year. And man, I bamboozled my wife. She had no idea what she was getting into. Super sweet girl, Christian girl, grew up in the church. You know, she wasn't actively going to church, but we ended up getting together and getting married. And man, I put her through heck for many, many years. And I'll spare you all the details, but we went through some stuff. Pastor was praying for me. Pastor Maggie praying for me. Church family, probably praying the wrong things for me, because of who I was. And I don't blame them for that, but again, God was working in all of that. I had no idea. You know, I didn't know what love was. I thought I loved my wife. I didn't have a clue. I didn't understand what it meant to be a father, to be a friend, to be a man of God. And I was going to church, and I was listening, and I would hear the word, and I would just leave. You know, I would hear it, and I don't want to get ahead of myself on my message, but I would hear the word and leave. And there wouldn't be a change in me. And, you know, Pastor sat me down one day and he said, you know, you keep doing the same thing and you're looking for different results, but you can't get over the mountain if you're going to keep going around the mountain and doing the same thing over and over. And if you don't change your ways and if you don't stop what you're doing, we're going to have to step in and kick you out of the church. And that was kind of eye-opening for me. I regret to say that I continued in my ways, and Pastor didn't, maybe or maybe didn't know, but I hid it well. And the enemy continued in my life for many more years. I continued down that road until finally one day God broke me. And, you know, it started out with I had an automotive repair shop, and I went on vacation and came back. And my lead technician stole everything out of my shop. All of my tools, my cars that I was buying and selling, everything that my wife and I had was wrapped up into this shop. And so we had no money. And the pastors gave me a $50 gift card to Quick Trip. I don't even know if you guys remember this. They gave me a $50 gift card to go to Quick Trip to get gas because I had a job interview. And I went into Quick Trip, and on the counter, they had their little plaque that said, now hiring, and these are the salaries. And so I was like, oh, wow, okay. And I went to my job interview. Don't even remember what that job interview was. And I went home and immediately applied for a job at Quick Trip. and got hired as a night assistant manager. And started as a night assistant manager in about 6 months, a year, I don't even remember the time frame, but I was promoted to corporate real estate. No experience, no education, God's hand moving in my life, I got promoted to this corporate real estate. And I asked the director, I said, why did you hire me? You know, you have all of these people that have been here for years, they have real estate licenses, and Kelly Vaughn, who's a Christian, he said, I didn't want the person with the most experience, I wanted the right person for the job. And little did I know, almost 20 years later, I would still be working in corporate real estate. And I say all of that to begin, I travel a lot for work, and I fly all over to new cities, new places, and sometimes I go into small towns, and I can't believe I had many people over the years, they ask me, they'll just say, who are you? And I was recently asked this, and it really got me thinking, who am I? And I went back to my hotel room that night, and I was like, who am I? And this was just a couple years ago. And if you were to ask that question, if somebody asked you that, how would you define yourself? And often people talk about their job, and my job's what I do, but it's not who I am. I know that I'm so much more than my work. And then some people talk about their family because they have big family and they're a leader of their family, but my family's who I love. It's not who I am. And so as I started to think about who am I saw myself. God gave me a vision. And I was looking in a mirror, and there was a mirror behind me. And you know how you have the mirrors and you can just see thousands and thousands of reflections. But it wasn't me in the reflection. It was my wife, my kids, my friends, my family. People that I'd never seen before were in this reflection of this mirror. And I was like, God, I'm seeking you. Who am I? And he said, this is who you are. And I didn't understand that. And so let's get into the message, and I'm going to pray. But God said, and this is what he had me say out loud, I am who I am. And that's the title of my message today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now, and I commit myself to you, Lord God. Lord, as I have a vision for today, as I have what I want to speak today, Lord God, I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just shut that off, anything of me that's not of you, Lord God. Lord, that you would close my mouth, that you would fill me up with your Spirit, and then I would open it and speak as you desire me to speak. That eyes would be open, Lord God, that deaf ears would be open, Lord, that hearts would be open, Lord God, that you, Lord, would be magnified and receive all the glory and honor today, Lord God. Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, that's listening, that's here, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would knock on their heart, Lord God, and that would be open. I pray that lives would be changed, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would receive all the glory and honor in my life, in this word today, Lord God, and everything that's said and done. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. So today we're going to be in James 1, and I'm going to start with verse 12. So it says, blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I think about that often, how often people are talking, especially in what I do, and I negotiate contracts, I go to public hearings, and I have to convince people of what I'm trying to do. And so often, even in conversations, like I'm a person speaking, I'm hearing, but I'm not really focused on what they're saying, and I'm just strategizing in my head what I need to say to get my point across. And so I'm not even hearing. And so it just reminds me that we have to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And I just want to encourage you in that, encourage me in that. That's definitely for me. And then in verse 21, it says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And that right there, it for me, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And for most of you can say, yeah, I remember that in Jeff's life. That was me. I just was full of filthiness and wickedness. It was in me. And often the enemy tries to remind me and say, that is who you are. That's who you were. That's still within you. And it's not. And let's continue. In verse 22, it says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So I know that's a lot, but we're going to focus in. So it says it's our responsibility to hear God's word and apply our mind to understand it, rather than just to speak our own opinions. We should be ready to hear and consider what God's word is teaching us. And when I was studying this, I often think about misquoted scriptures, how people often say, well, God never gives us more than we can handle. And I'm like, where does it say that? God, all throughout my life, has given me more than I can handle. And he does it to crush me, to press me, to show me that I can't do it in my own strength. But it's him and his power in me that will raise me up, that will break me as his potted vessel and rebuild me and form me and fashion me more in his image. And from verse 23, we can learn how we're supposed to use God's word from it being compared to a mirror. And this is really where I want to focus in. So, comparing it to a mirror in which a person may behold their natural face. As a mirror shows us the spots and imperfections on our faces that can be touched up, fixed, or washed off, the Word of God shows us our sins, that we may repent of them and have them pardoned. It shows us what's inappropriate or not right within us, that it can be made right. But we have to look into that mirror and see clearly. We have to look in that mirror and behold who we are in God's righteousness and God's power. You know, I once was watching Shark Tank, and they had these mirrors. And their mirrors, they were designed to flatter people, that they could make you look slimmer and more attractive. And I was thinking, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. As we walk in our lives, we flatter ourselves with who we think we are, but then we go out into the world and people see who we really are. So those flattering mirrors that will flatter people is terrible, but that which is truly the Word of God is not a flattering mirror. If you flatter yourselves, it's your own fault. The truth as it is in the Word of God, it's as Jesus is the truth. And the word doesn't flatter anyone. Let the word of truth be carefully considered, and it will set before you the corruption of your nature, the disorders of your heart and lives, and it will tell you plainly what you are and who you are. Paul describes himself as being okay. Okay with the corruption of his nature until he saw himself in the mirror of the law in Romans 7:9. As I was alive without the law, that is, I took all to be right with me and thought myself not only clean, but compared with the generality of the world, beautiful too. But when the commandment came, when the mirror of the law was set before me, then sin revived and I died. Then I saw my spots and my deformities and discovered that which was amiss in myself, which before me I was not aware of, and such was the power of the law and of sin, that I then perceived myself in a state of death and condemnation. Thus, when we pay attention to the Word of God so as to see ourselves, our true state and condition, to rectify what is wrong and to form and dress ourselves anew with the mirror of God's Word, this is to make a proper use of the mirror that God sets before us. In verse 24 it says, "For he observes himself, goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was." And this is what hit home for me. Here we have an account of those who do not use the mirror of the Word as they should. This is the true description of one who hears the Word of God and then discards it. How many are there who, when you sit under the Word, you're affected with your own sinfulness, your misery and danger? You acknowledge the evil of sin within you, and you acknowledge the need of Christ. But when the hearing is over, all is forgotten. Convictions are lost, good affections vanished, and pass away like the waters of the land flood, and you forget straight away. You walk out of service, you go to lunch, you forget that conviction, you forget that word that was penetrating your heart, that change that God was trying to do within you. I don't know your hearts, but I do know that each and every day that there's something within me that the enemy is trying to remind me of who I am, and God's telling me who I really am. And that's a place that you need to get to when you're looking in that mirror and you see that reflection, you see that sinfulness, but you apply the Word of God to it. The Word of God teaches us how we can do away with our sins and cover ourselves with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our sins are the spots which the law reveals, but Christ's blood is the white robe that we put on, which the gospel shows us, that covers us. But in vain do we hear God's word and look into the gospel mirror, and we go away and forget our spots. Instead of washing them off, we forget our remedy. Instead of applying it, then this is the case of who do not hear the words they should. In James, there's those who are also described and pronounced as blessed, who hear rightly, and who use the mirror of God's word as they should. In verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this is one who will be blessed in what he does." And that's my desire. That's my desire for me. That's my desire in each and every one of you, that you're blessed in what you do. Whatever that is, that it's not for you, it's for God, and that He'll receive the glory. So listen here. The gospel is a law of liberty, of liberation, giving us deliverance from the Jewish law and from sin and guilt and wrath and death. The ceremonial law was a yoke of bondage. The gospel of Christ is a law of liberty. It's a perfect law. Nothing can be added to it. In the hearing of the word, we look into the perfect law. We consult it for counsel and direction. We look into it that we may take our measures of who we are. We must not be forgetful of it, but practice it as our life's work and business. Set it before our eyes and make it the constant rule of our conversation and behavior and the model of our thoughts and our minds. Often we let our minds drift. You know, my mom wasn't a great mom, and I've mentioned what she did. I, But one of the greatest things that she ever said to me was, idle hands is the devil's workshop. Because if you're just sitting around not doing anything, the enemy's going to use that. And what do you do with yourself? What do you do with your time? What are you working on? What's important? You know, I hear so many people, you know, I just want to relax. I just want to watch football. I just want to play video games. I just want to do this. I just want to do that. And it makes me think about, you know, a lot of you know my son, and he writes music. And one of his songs is Be About It. And it's really been on my heart lately. Be about it. Be about the Word of God. Be about what God's calling you to. In every day of your life, be about it. And then when you look into that mirror and you see your wife, your husband, your children, your sons, your daughters, the family, friends, and generations to come, when you be about it and you're a person who loves the Lord with all of your heart, there's going to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. And those people in that mirror are going to see that reflection of Jesus Christ, not you. And so I challenge you today to be about it. Those who do this, now let me... When we must not be forgetful of it, but practice it as our life's work. Set it always before our eyes and make it the constant rule of our conversation, behavior, and the model of our minds. Those who do this and continue in the law and the word of God are and shall be blessed. Blessed in their deed, blessed in all their ways. He that meditates in the law of God and walks according to it shall prosper in whatever he does. And he that is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work which God's word calls him to, shall be blessed. This doesn't say for his deeds that any man is blessed, but in his deed. This is a way in which we shall find blessedness, not the cause of it. The blessedness does not lie in knowing, but in doing the will of God. In John 13:17 it says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's not talking but walking that will bring us to heaven. Real quickly, I want to turn to Romans 8, 5 through 7. And before I want to go there, I want to read something that my daughter gave me. It's in my Bible. I hold it in my Bible. And it's dated March 8, 23. And it says, Happy Dad. I just wanted to take a second to remind you how loved you are, not only by your family, but by your Father God. I get to see a representation of God's love by looking at your testimony. He chased you down, protected you, called you, cleaned you up, cultivated you, and even now He continues to love you. Thank you as your daughter for surrendering yourself to God. Every day when you pick up your cross, I am blessed. Thank you for taking care of my mom like a queen and for holding me to my potential. I'm truly so proud of you. You're so gifted. I love you to the moon and back and around the corner almost 22 times. God isn't close to done with you. Love, Boo Bear, forever. Alice from Courtney. And God uses her to encourage me in the Word of God. But that's just a testimony of God pulling me out of the darkness into His glorious light. So in Romans 8, 5 through 7, it says, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who wants peace in their house? Peace in their life? Peace in their family? Peace in their marriage? Peace in their friendships, relationships? In 7 it says, Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So the carnal mind... Often, our minds are carnal, and we need to repent of that. We're not perfect. We can't always walk in glorious light. We're fallen. We're sinful. But God can give you the strength to overcome those things. And today, as you look in the mirror and you ask yourself, who are you? Think about those things in your life that you've struggled with. Whether it may seem as a small sin or a great sin, they're all sin. And lay it down today. So, when I was thinking about who am I, and I searched Scripture, this is what I came up with. I'm a creation of God who belongs to Him and exists for His glory. I am a sinner who deserves nothing from God, but looks to Him for His mercy and grace. And as the enemy continues to tell me who I was and flashback memories of what I've done, the people that I've hurt, my wife, how I broke her and hurt her, God reminds me that I'm a new creation in Christ, redeemed at inestimable cost, despite all the struggles that arise from the sin that remains in my flesh. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a child of God, destined for unimaginable joy every day through Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. And if you take the Lord out of my answer, I would have no way of knowing who I am. I couldn't define myself. So you may look in the mirror and say, I'm not who I want to be, or I don't have the impressive gifts or talents. You may say, I don't have influence, or my life's not what I want it to be. All of which I've said. True life lies not in who you are, or what you do, or in what you've accomplished. Life lies not in who you are or who I am, but in who He is. He is Jesus our Savior, and in believing in Him, you will have life in His name. Be in His Word and become His reflection. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer. If you don't know the Lord, if there's anybody in line that doesn't know the Lord, I would ask that they would reach out. We would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you today. I would love to have an opportunity to speak into your life. Pray over you. Pray blessings over you. Don't allow the enemy to hold you back. If you want prayer, I'm willing to come in alignment with you and stand in agreement with you and pray for you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you, Lord, are a good, good Father. There's so many of us, Lord God, who are afflicted by an orphan spirit, Lord God. Lord, but as we look into the Word, we see that you are Abba Father, that you're King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega. Lord, you're all in all. And so today I just pray that we would recognize that, Lord God. That we would lay ourselves down, Lord. That we would submit ourselves to you, Lord. That, Lord, you would become what we see in the mirror, Lord God. Not ourselves. God, as we see our spots and blemishes, Lord God, I pray that we would lay those down at the altar and that they would be taken away and picked up no longer, Lord God. Only you, by your power, your might, your Holy Spirit, can do these things. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity today, Lord. I just pray that you would be with us, Lord God, and just continue to be glorified in each and every person's life here today. In Jesus' name, amen.